You are listening to the Way of Truth broadcast, which originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin A. Craig speaking, and we invite you to remain with us and trusting that the Lord will take our broadcast and make it a real blessing to you today. Heavenly Father, we are truly thankful for the privilege of sharing another broadcast with this precious people. We're thankful for each one who is in our congregation today, and we're trusting as the messages in song and the spoken word goes forth, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and make it a blessing to each heart. Now you see our congregation, we know there are those who have burdens and those who have needs. And you told us to cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. So we bring our congregation to you, asking you in your love and mercy to minister to them and get honor and glory to yourself through our efforts today. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It is a privilege to share this broadcast service with you from week to week, and we do trust that it is proving to be a blessing. If it is, it would be an encouragement to us to know And at the close of our broadcast today, we will be giving you our address, and we invite you to write us. Our subject for today's broadcast, A Lady Too Wonderful to Lose. Many feminists blame Christianity for the plight of women in the world. They point to certain scriptures that seem to limit women in leadership roles. The Bible does teach that God planned a role for men and a role for women, but no other religious system in history has elevated women in society like Christianity has. Look at certain Eastern religions, and see how women are treated among them. Look in Proverbs 31, and you will find a lady who runs her own business. Look in the book of Acts, chapter 16, and you will find a lady by the name of Lydia who owned her own business and was doing quite well. Jesus recognized the worth of women, appreciated their effort and their support. Paul praised women in his ministry and mentioned a number by name. Women ministered to Jesus in his life, and they followed him to the cross. They were the first who went to the tomb, and they were the first to carry the message of his resurrection. Now, there was a woman at Joppa, a certain disciple by the name of Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. Both names mean female gazelle, a very beautiful animal. Today, we might use a beautiful flower rather than a beautiful animal describing a beautiful lady. And I understand there is a certain species of the gazelle family that is now called the Dorcas gazelle. The name Joppa also means beautiful. I don't think this was limited to physical beauty when they speak about the beauty of this one. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And she was working for she was extending mercy to needy people. She was a disciple, one who had accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior and Lord, and doubtless been baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. It came to pass that while she became sick and she died. They washed the body, but they did not bury her, as is in some cases we read about in the Bible. Instead, they laid her in an upper chamber. It seems that they had a purpose in doing so. A town called Lydia, or Lod, today near their international airport there in Israel, was only a few miles from Joppa. And the disciple had heard that Peter was there. Sometime after Peter had preached that powerful sermon in Jerusalem, when around 3,000 were converted, he and John went up to the temple at the hour of prayer, and a lame man was healed there. As a result of that marvelous healing, 5,000 more were converted. Later, Peter left Jerusalem and preached and healed people in different places. We read in the scriptures that they laid people out in the street that just so the shadow of Peter would pass over them. And the implication is that by that, there were people that were healed. Of course, it was not the power of Peter, but it was the power of God being manifest through the man Peter. And then he came to the saints that dwelled at Lydia. And there he found a certain man, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. Peter said unto him, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately and was healed. As a result of this miracle, many there at Lydia turned to the Lord. Possibly this news was carried to Joppa, and the saints sent two men to Lydia to ask Peter if he would come to Joppa, desiring that he would not delay to come to them, and this Peter did. He did not delay. He hurriedly went to the city of Joppa, as he was requested to do. Now, all the widows stood by him, stood by Peter, weeping, and showed the coats and the garments which Dorcas made, while she was with them. They put her godly love and her labors of love out there before Peter, and she was too wonderful for them to lose. And they were endeavoring to influence Peter to do something about it. Well, Peter put them out, all of them out of the room. Now, this act is not explained. When Jesus went to raise Jairus' daughter, and they mocked him and made fun of him, Jesus put them out because of their unbelief. And Jesus healed or raised Jairus' daughter from the dead. She was about 12 years of age, and the Lord raised her back to life again. But here in this particular instance, I don't think it was because of disrespect or anything like that. Just Peter wanted to be alone there with this woman and the Lord. And so Peter put them out of the room, and then he knelt down and prayed. Before he did anything else, he knelt down before the Lord and he prayed. And then he turned to the body of Tabitha or Dorcas, and he said to her, "Arise." And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, he presented Dorcas to them alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed on the Lord because of this marvelous miracle that had been wrought on Dorcas. And so her being raised from the dead, she was able then to proceed with the work of charity that she had been doing. She was dearly loved because of her charitable work, her expressions of love, and her work that she had done for them. You know, this is a part of being a Christian, not only living for Christ ourselves, doing what is right as far as our own life is concerned, but in helping others. Yes, we are called to help others. We are called to bear one another's burdens. We are called to pray one for another. When one member of the body suffers, all are to suffer with it. And this is a part of living the Christian life. As we read the love chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, we realize and see there that love causes people to do things. It's not just something that is expressed, but true love causes actions. True love causes deeds to be done. And love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. I have said many times, the way that we prove we love God is not by word alone, but by our actions and by our deeds. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." So Dorcas was a disciple of Christ. She was one who loved him, and she was one who proved her love for the Lord by the things that she did for others. And they loved her, and they appreciated her labor of love as well. And God appreciated it evidently so much that he used Peter to raise her from the dead, that she might continue her beautiful work. Now, not all good works are seen, but God sees them, and God does appreciate them, and he blesses and he rewards saints for doing so. So don't do it to be seen of men. Don't do it for the praise of men, but do it because you love God and you have a love for people and a desire to help people. One of the greatest ways that we can help people is by praying for the lost to be saved. Yes, carrying a soul burden bringing lost souls before the Lord. That is one of the greatest works that a Christian can do. And I say that because the soul is the most valuable possession we have. And it was Jesus Christ who valued souls so much that he left the glories of heaven and came into this sin-cursed, sin-sick, sin-benighted world, took upon himself the robe of flesh, taught the way of life, and finally gave his life so that we could have life. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." And so Jesus loved souls so much that he came and gave his life for them. Even there on the cross, when the thief said, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom," Jesus loved that thief so much that he forgave him. Yes, he forgave him of all of his sins. "This day shalt thou be with me in paradise." And God is no respecter of persons. Regardless of how deep in sin you may be, the Lord Jesus is willing to save you. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. This old sinful world today needs more Dorcases, needs more people who love one another and will do good deeds for one another and help one another, instead of hating and taking a gun, shooting and killing, or a knife and stabbing people. This old world needs people like Dorcas who love people and did charitable work for the benefit of people. I trust these thoughts will move your heart and impress your soul, and that we will be able to do the will of God and be a blessing in this sin-cursed, sin-sick world in which we live. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the privilege of sharing this beautiful story with our congregation today, and we trust the thoughts that have been brought have been a blessing and a benefit to them, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
When lost in sin and darkness praying, appendent to Christ I came. When yielding all his word obeying, he saved me, fully praise his name. Then I found
dearest hopes and dreams had died.
We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing. Our mailing address, the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. That's the Way of Truth broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. truth@fred.net. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. Remember, you can read our monthly Way of Truth magazine there on our webpage. There's also an archive of our broadcast. If you have missed any or would like to hear one over again, you may find it there on our webpage. And we invite you to join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11, our Sunday evening service at 6, and our midweek service Wednesday evening at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to tune in next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.